Oh, hey.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's finally good to record with you now.
I know. I know. You
Sorry
were
about that.
asleep the first time.
Yeah. It's common Dwight Richard thing, I guess. Oh, it's
Yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
I guess it's a comic thing, just being so lazy all the time. But
Oh my God, I
yeah,
feel
you
you.
just like try to like, you have a podcast now, right?
Yeah, me and my fiance started a podcast called Ask the Lesbians. And we give people advice whether they like it or not.
That's awesome. How long have you been together for?
Just this year, like 7 months now.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool to be able to do that. Yeah, it's so crazy, like podcasting. When I first started this, I was just, talking and not really like doing anything, just giving my opinion on stuff. And then I started interviewing people in like August of last year, just during the pandemic, and it was just, now I've done over 70 people, and it's like insane. It's insane.
It's more fun when you have other people to talk to and like bounce ideas and stuff off of.
Oh yeah, especially comics, because we really only get to see each other like most of the time, like unless you hang out with, comics that you're friends with, but like we mostly only see each other at mics and shows, so like it's like an hour a night, so you don't really know people. And then when you get to see a different side of them, it's really, really cool. That's what I love
Yeah.
about my podcast, is like behind the music kind of thing. Where like you kind of get to see where like things come from, and you're like, oh, that's what that joke came from and stuff. And it's like that's it's so cool. So when did you start doing stand up?
What was that?
When did you start doing stand up?
I think 2018 or 2019. I think. Oh, that's my cat. My cat is like coughing up a hairball. That's typical. Yeah, I think I started in y actually, I think I started in 2019. I think it was May. I know it was May in 2019. I think that's when I first went up on a mic.
Right. So what was that like for you? Was it, were you a performer before? Did you perform anything at all before doing that, or was that like your first time ever on stage?
Well, I used to teach at Rutgers, so I kind of had a platform. Not
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm so sorry
Okay.
about that.
That's okay.
I'll edit all this. I just need I think we'll be good now.
Okay. All
Yeah,
right. Awesome.
this is I'm so sorry about that. But yeah, you were talking about how you were teaching and that gave you a platform, but that got kind of boring.
Yeah, so when I was teaching, I would try to find different ways to get my students' attention because it was. I was teaching economics and it's boring. And so that was kind of my first platform. And then I knew some people who were doing some stand up, and I went to the Brighton Bar
Right.
to watch them do stand up. And I was like, oh, that looks like fun, you know? So I, after a couple weeks, was thinking about it. I was like, oh, I might want to do that. So I wrote like a 5-minute set. And I got up on stage, I got some laughs, and I was like, okay, that wasn't too bad. So that kind of went from there. Then I started doing open mics, you know.
Right. And it's crazy how fast it goes by and how you meet everyone. And did you feel like you got along with all the comics when you met everyone there at the Brighton?
Yeah, I loved everyone up, right? And I think a lot, you know, it's majority of the people there are men, and the majority of people at open mics are men. And
oh, yeah.
Obviously, I'm a lesbian female, so it was like...
Right.
But everyone is super inviting and, like, nice, and they kind of, like, look out for me. So I definitely feel supported in, like, the local community, you know?
Yeah. We have a good community. It's always, you know, it's something I always have to think about, you know? That's the one thing that I'm always, like, remember to ask about on the podcast and stuff, which is people have different experiences, especially if you're, like, a lesbian or black or anything. It's like, you know, you just, you don't know, like, what people are going to deal with, because we have a good community, but, you know, there's always stuff, and, like, it's just, it's so interesting. And do you have, so, we'll, like, background on how I ask about this, like, were you a big, like, stand-up comedy fan growing up?
Mm-mm.
Yeah?
I really wasn't.
Oh, that's interesting.
I kind of got more into it. So, like, that whole world was not really, like, it wasn't something that I grew up with, and I didn't really know about it until after I started doing stand-up, and I was like, oh, like, I want to look up, you know, other comedians and things like that, and I like a lot of the female comedians, like,
oh yeah,
Eliza Schlesinger,
yeah,
Whitney Cummings,
yes, yeah,
Taylor Tomlinson,
oh yeah, she's awesome.
But yeah, so, but I really wasn't, like, I kind of was sheltered, I guess, in that way, you know, it wasn't something that was really natural to me.
Right.
So I kind of discovered it after the fact. So maybe I'm a, like, an anomaly or something.
Yeah, it's not that rare, but it is. And it's like, you know, it's so interesting. Like, to me, I'm always like, people are always so surprised at how much of a comedy nerd I am, despite, like, getting into it pretty late. Like, I was a teenager, really. And I am so envious of people that started watching when they were younger. But, like, to me, it's still the same thing. Once you get into that world, you're like, oh my god, there's so much stuff to do and so many amazing people. So with the main, like, stuff of your comedy, like, does your family know that you do it?
They do, and I kind of, like, forbid them to watching me or, like, coming to my shows. My mom keeps wanting to come to one of my shows or, like, to an open mic or something like that.
Right.
But I like being able to say whatever I want, and a lot of the times it's blue.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so, like, I try, and if I, you know, if someone from my family did really want to see me, I probably would edit my set a little bit.
Right.
Just because of the nature of what I'm talking about.
Right.
I don't know if I'd be nervous. And I don't really care too much what people think.
Right.
So that's a good thing, but I don't know. I just don't want my mom hearing certain things.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, to you me, know? I'm so lucky that, like, my parents are very supportive. Like, it's funny, but the only reason my dad doesn't come and watch me is because, like, there's a phenomenon of me being made fun of. So my mom doesn't mind being made fun of, but my dad, he likes to make fun of other people, doesn't like being made fun of. So yeah, there's that. So it's like, you know, but they're all very supportive. And it's like, I always have to remember that, because I grew up in, like, very weird of, like, you know, the stuff that we watched in comedy and stuff. So, like, my parents weren't that, like, it was more like I couldn't watch violent things and, like, horror stuff when I was little, but it was like, you know, like, comedy stuff was fine. So,
right.
My parents are cool with all that stuff that I do on stage and everything, and it's, you know, I'm always like, I never know how to explain myself, like, that's bad marketing to not know, like, if you're clean or dirty enough. I'm like, I'm just, yeah, like, PG-13-ish a little bit, and then it's like, oh, and then they say the C word on stage, it's like, maybe I'm rated R, I don't know.
That's funny, because one time, so I was doing a show at the Chubby Pickle in Atlantic Highlands.
Oh yeah, I did that.
It was like my second booked show, and it was in the beginning of 2020. And I remember this family came in, and it was mom, dad, and they had their two, like, teenage kids with them. And one, so, like, the first time it goes up, whatever, they're still there. I go up, and then they literally stood up and left the room. Like, I don't know if it was, like... I'm not too blue. Like, a lot of my stuff is mostly about being a lesbian.
Right.
And, like, my life experiences and things like that. So, I don't know. Either they were homophobic or they were, like, covering their kids' ears, like,
right.
While they're walking in, you know?
That's so annoying.
I thought it was hilarious. I was like, wow, I made a family
Right. Yeah, I... Awesome. But that's always the thing that, like, you don't know, like, especially, like, with the show that's tough, like, you know, I'm just used to that with, like, when we used to do mics, like, it's so crazy, you sort of are in the before time, like, of, you know, before COVID and everything, so you couldn't get this. It's like, I always feel like an old person now when I talk to people that, like, do only Zoom mics or they do very little open mics because they started after us in our era of doing stand-up, and it's like, I feel like such an old person being, like, we used to just ambush people. People would be eating at a restaurant, and then they'd be like, oh, there's an open mic here, and you have to listen to us talk and set things in front of your children and stuff. And it's like such a weird thing. It's such a...
Have you done any Zoom?
I almost did one, and then I was like... It was a weird thing, because, like, I didn't know if the host liked me or not. I was, you know, like, a weird... social thing where I was like, I don't know if he likes me or not, and then I ended up not doing it. And then to me, my whole entire thing was, well, if I'm gonna do this, like, I saw how people were doing it and how they didn't like the way it was set up. I was like, well, if I'm gonna do, like, any online stuff, I'll just do TikTok or I'll just go on Instagram. Like, I did that. That's the one thing that I did instead of doing Zoom, was I went on Instagram and did a set, which looks fine, but it's like, it doesn't translate to me. Like, I like performing live in front of people. It's a completely different thing to me, and I've been doing it 6 years now, so it's like something I'm sort of like, that's what I know how to do, you know. Some people are very talented at, you know, doing sketches and, you know, translating their comedy to different things. It's like, I know how to do comedy on stage live in front of people.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do anything else. Like, the joke I make is, it's like, you know, you know, it's like a stripper can go on stage, can go online and be like a camera or whatever. It's like, I can't do that. I have no way to, like, show my comedy sits online at all. It's like,
yeah.
I just know how to do, like, not master, but, like, this is what I've set out to do. Like, I've done stand-up for 6 years. I did improv for, like, 5 years, and that was, you know, way too long. And that was just funny how that happened. Like, there was no scene. Like, there was no stand-up really seen in our area. Like, Angelo, it's so crazy that he sort of, like, kickstarted everything, because before, like, 2014, like, I started in 2015, he started in 2014. Before that, there was, like, Vinny's and, like, the Stress Factory, but all you could get was, like, especially Vinny's, like, around here, was just, like, only professionals. Like, they didn't really let open micers, like, there were no open mics. So, like, it's really cool that Angelo, like, he... Gendrelli, he really like kickstarted everything. So yeah. Like, and to me, what was so crazy was I got into it when growing up, I was held back in kindergarten. So I was always, when you're older than everyone. And then when I started doing stand up, I was 22, and everyone was so much older than me. Like, not so much, but like a little bit. So it was like a cool, like, experience with that. And I met so many people that you, like, probably know now from the Bright and everything, like, when they were really young. Like, I met Jack Steiger when he was really, really young, like, mid-20s, and Mark Henley when he was younger, and, like, tons of people, Jordan, and everyone. Like, it's just crazy just to see, like, and now, like, 6 years later, to look at how everyone has gone and how we've evolved. Like, we've gone from to several different places. Like,
yeah.
We were in Asbury, we were doing this mic that was my favorite called the Crust and Crumble, and then we were, then next to that was a place called Porta,
And then we just kept migrating and moving. And now, you know, we were at the Brighton for like 3 years, 2 years, maybe 2.5 yeah. years. And it's so crazy how that became like a hub, because I knew all those people from years before. And now we have, you know, you've done the arcade, Mike, right? The,
yes.
Yeah.
The one in Belmar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Place was cool. I did it once. It was really cool. It was fun. I love playing video games, and I love all those, like, arcade games, so it was awesome to, like, play and then perform.
Right. Yeah, so it's always been, so you've done that, and that was, have you gotten on a lot of shows in, like, with, after COVID, or is it still, like, a grind? Like, to me, I haven't gotten on many at all. It's, like, so crazy.
So, for the company that I work at, they were having a holiday party, and my boss asked me to, like, have some comics, like, perform over Zoom, because she thought it would be fun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but I might get fired after. So I did do a Zoom comedy show that I got booked on, that I booked myself on, I guess. But that's about it. Like, I haven't, and I recently started doing open mics again. Like, I did it, like, very sparingly. Sometimes I would go just to, like, support and listen, and,
right.
But I recently started going again, like, you know, weekly to the different mics and stuff like that, trying to get my material down. And it's been hard, like, transitioning back into it.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was, like, it was rough. The first two times I went up on the mic, I was like, I got a standing ovation from the crickets, you know?
Right.
But and the last time I went to Murphy's
it was? Yeah, Murphy's was great.
Yeah, it was good. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I felt good afterwards, you know?
Yeah. I hate to shit on the Nip and Tuck, because it's a great place. Like, it's a great place to eat and stuff, but it's terrible because it's only comics really there, and, you know, it can be very bad. So it's like, you know, that's... So it's like, it sort of sucks, because that's all the people, like, it's sort of our only thing that we have now that the Brighton's gone. It's like, well, it's like, now Angelo's, like, hoping to get the arcade back, and he's like, I don't even know why he has to ask us. He's like, do you guys want to do this? Like, yeah, that's way better than, you know, I don't know. It's like, atmosphere is such a weird thing with comedy. Like, it can totally change everything. Like, that's the one thing that's so interesting. Like, you mentioned the Chubby Pickle, and I only went there twice, I think. And it was, I went once and I got to perform, like, on a show, kind of, because they didn't have a lot of people. And they're just like, they had extra time in between people. And it was mostly music. And then I did the mic there, and I ended up getting bumped like 6 times in a row. And the guy was really nice, but it was just like, you know, I was like, oh, we have no music, I can wait this and that. And it's like, you know, to me, everyone was like, why do you stay for that? Why do you put that? Yeah. It's like, I'll do anything to get on stage, you know? It's like, you know, that's sort of the thing that you have to have. Like, you have to have that sort of thing, because it's not easy. It's something you have to really do if you want to do. And,
And, like, unless you're willing to travel, like, I know some of the guys, like, travel pretty far.
Oh, yeah.
To the mics. And I would, and I will, start branching out to, like, other areas to start doing mics. It's just tough because I work full-time also.
Yeah, it's all scheduling. That's all what it is. Like, to me, I'm so lucky now that I'm going to be, moving in with another comic, VJ, and on Friday, and it's so great because, like, I don't drive, so he'll be able to give me rides and stuff, and it's, like, that'll be able to do more stuff. Because, like, to me, what was, like, crazy, what sucked about COVID happening was, like, I had a friend who was a comedian who would give me rides and stuff. We were constantly getting on shows together and doing mics together, and then COVID happened and everything shut down. And then we came back pretty early, which was actually really, really weird. We were back in Brighton like 3 months, and they had a, we were outside and we're performing outside, and they would have like these drones like go to every bar to like spy on people to see if they were following the rules, like the masks and stuff. And we were the only bar. We were the only bar that followed any of the rules, like. COVID, they were like you guys are doing really well. It's like just fine. I was like, you're doing really well. Like you're, like, Mike, the bartender would yell at his name, Sick Vic, all the time to wear his mask.
So. Oh my god, I can just picture like Phil Murphy, like with the drones.
Yeah, it's just like.
Monitoring all of the open mic spots in New Jersey.
Right. It's just like, you know, it was like, well, I don't know if the drone is sentient enough to watch our shitty comedy and be like, you know, this is good. Kind of like, okay, that's funny. Did you, oh, it's so funny that I have like, it's so interesting not to like talk to someone who hasn't done, you know, who watched comedy afterwards and stuff. Do you have like, have you watched anything recently that you like any specials or anything that,
Ooh, that's a good one. I actually haven't, like, I rewatch a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My all-time favorite, I will say, like, I don't want to plug her too much because she's already famous, but, like, my favorite is Eliza Schlesinger, and, like, I've watched all her specials, and
yeah,
she had, like, a sketch comedy show that was very short-lived.
Right.
She recently had a movie come out that was pretty
right.
funny.
I heard about that. Is it good? I gotta check that out, because I felt happy for her that she got that.
It's called Good on Paper. And,
right.
Margaret Cho is in it, which shocked me. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, where has Margaret Cho been? But anyway, so that was a really good movie. And what else? I listen to podcasts. But I strictly only listen to comedians' podcasts. Like,
right.
I love Conan O'Brien's.
Do you listen to, Jackie and Lori?
No.
Oh, Jackie Cation and Lori Kilmartin have a podcast called Jackie and Lori, where they talk exclusively about being women in comedy, and every episode they mention, they like bring up a comic to highlight, like at the end of the episode, that's a woman comic that like, you know, is on the rise and like who they know and who they're friends with, and they promote them, and it's really cool. And, you know, they just talk about like what it's like to be like, they're, you know, in their 50s and they've been doing comedy forever. So it's like just the experiences that they have, and it's great. And it's like, you know, so that's a good.
Yeah. Oh, I wrote that down. I'm going to check
that
out.
But I love Jackie Cation, and she's so great. But Eliza, like, the one thing, like, it always sounds so weird to say, like, with her, like, I love the stuff that I love about her. She's just, like, so, like, crazy in a good way on stage. Like, she can just, like, the voices that she can do and her energy and everything. Like, she was on Last Comic Standing, and she was just destroying, because she was like, it was just so in her element, and she's really really good, and do you have anyone else that you
I like Fortune Feimster.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah, I see her in little stuff in movies. If I watched her stand-up special, she is just so. And that's another thing of like just knowing, like what you are. Like that's a big thing to me. Is like,
yeah.
With stand-up, that's a really hard thing. Is like you sort of have to, like, it's different from any type of other performing, but like acting and stuff, where like you sort of have to figure out the character of yourself. So you're always analyzing that and always figuring out, like, what is this thing that I can talk about myself? And was it ever hard for you to, like, talk about, like, the lesbian stuff and your sexuality and stuff like that, or was it pretty easy?
That is a great question. So I will say I do admire Fortune. Like, I love that she's just herself. And, like,
oh, yeah.
She's just, like, I love her, your special Sweet and Salty.
Oh, yes.
Really funny.
I thought it was great.
And no, it wasn't really hard because, like, I've been out for so long. It's like I've been out for like 11 years now. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's kind of like everyone in my life knows who I am, and like, you know, I don't know. For me, it was just easy, and it was kind of like a way to vent, like, being a lesbian in the world, like, you get so many different comments from so many different people, like, especially dudes.
Oh, so it's just, yeah.
It's funny to, like, translate that into comedy, and it's kind of like, I'm educating people, like, this isn't okay to say, but I'm saying it in, like, a funny way that's kind of approachable.
So right.
People are like, oh, that's kind of funny, but also, like, a little bit, you know, can we curse on here?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, and I'm like, so people are like, that's kind of funny, but also, like, pretty fucked up.
Right, like, yeah.
Like, you can't people say that, but people say, like, a lot of crazy things, so.
Right.
It was kind of, I mean, it's all I really know, like, that's kind of, like, who I am, it's what I know best, and what I can easily translate into material because it's my everyday life.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of the beauty about comedy is, you know, you can talk about serious stuff. And this is what I like about comics. You can, like, talk about serious societal issues or things in the world that are messed up and translate it into an approachable, like, dialogue on stage and kind of make you laugh about it, also make you think about it too.
Oh yeah. It's
like
a
like that Nanette special.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's, you know, it's so funny. People always, you know, a lot of people are divided on it. To me, I think, you know, I watched both her specials, and I think the first one, Nanette, is great if you sort of want to see, like, an actual, like, story, like, sort of played out. Like, that's a good narrative story, and there's, like, it has a bunch of stuff. Like, it's funny, it's also heartbreaking, and I think her second one, Douglas, is hilarious. And I think, like, people just need to give that a chance. Like, if you're looking for something really, really funny, you need to watch the second one, Douglas. But if you want to see, like, a really, like, heartfelt, like, and just to see someone sort of realize, like, she was, that was her one thing. She was, like, doing comedy forever, and then it's like, you know, it's like you get that one shot. Like, that's the thing that's tough about, like, when you get a special or an album for people sometimes. It's like a lot of people don't know, like, you're just in the middle of your career when it happens. So, like,
yeah,
you don't know what it's going to be like, you know. Not everyone has a thing where they can be like, well, now I can start all over and show everyone who I am. It's like, no, this subset of people know who I am. So I have a lot of respect for her, and I think she's great and phenomenal. But, yeah, that was really good. Yeah, it's always a thing. It's like I always look back at stuff of, like, the past, and you look at everything of how stand-up, like, where it started. Like, the first stand-up comic, a lot of people don't know this, was it was back in, like, the, like, vaudeville era. And one of the guys that was the first stand-up comic was super popular for blackface. And that was just the thing back then. Like, that was just what it was back then. It's not looked at like it was now. And you look at it now, and it's so horrifying. And it's like, that's what people accepted back then. And then we look at stand-ups now, and it's like, people give us all types of, you know, flack or whatever for stuff, and it's like, it's a lot better how it is now. There's stuff that can be worked on for sure, and I love that it's more inclusive, especially now. But to think of like where we started in the whole entire platform and how it's like evolved and everything, it's very, very cool. And I think that's really cool to like see that. Like I love, you know, I love especially in our like unit of people, especially, it's so diverse. Like it's just so great.
Like with that stuff that you were saying, like, you know, the equivalent of that nowadays is like, you know, maybe like 30 years ago, like a male comic would like go on stage dressed as a woman and think,
and right, would be laughing. And that's like,
and that's like not acceptable because it's
no, and it's like, yeah.
And then it's like also like, where is that line drawn? But there's also, I feel like, you know, like, people accepted it back then.
Right? Yeah, they accepted it back then.
Right. And like you said, like, they accepted it, and like, that was that back then. But now, as we've progressed, certain things are not okay.
Yeah.
And like, not acceptable. And I agree with that, you know? Like, people, like, you can make fun of people in a crowd.
Yeah. But
it's different than racially or, like, you know, anything kind of like discriminating against,
yeah,
people.
It's for, like, a laugh, it's, you know? It's so weird to think like back then, that time period, you know. It's funny that you mentioned you know, the family, how they walked out on you when you start being like doing your act. That kind of, just thinking about this, like, kind of not story, but like what I kind of know about like old stand-up history. What's funny is, like, you know that term that you used, like, going blue?
Yeah.
That actually came from during the vaudeville times. Like, when people would go out and they would go to these shows, they were, like, kind of not supposed to be there. Like, they were frowned upon by a lot of families. Like, families wanted to go out and they'd be like, well, you work, and then we don't have time for this. So when they went out, they're like, the shows have to be clean. You know, someone gets hit in the face with a pious, whatever. So when people started doing stand-up and live performing, there was a lot of, like, stuff they had to make up and, like, to go along with, because it's, like, all these pristine people are watching you. So what happened was, when people started to do, like, darker material, they would hand them a blue sheet that would kick them out. It would be, like, this person, it would label them. It would be, like, this person's a blue comic, give them the, you know, label them with that. Give them this thing that's like sort of a certificate or like a warning, and it's like this blue paper that's a warning, and it's like that's what they use to call it, like, going blue. And it's so crazy how that sort of has changed. And now I think the biggest problem that we deal with now is just a lot of older people are dealing with how we're much more inclusive, and
right,
like, I think, you know, it's a good thing to have that. I think it's a good thing to have, you know. I love seeing everything. When I used to, when I first started doing it, and I went to, did you ever do the George Street Co-op?
I didn't. I always wanted to, because I heard it was, like, really good, but I never did.
Well, when I first started doing that, it was kind of, like, it kind of became gentrified. Like, it was a lot of, like, black comics, and it was really cool, because I could bring my mom, and it was, like, she could sort of, like, be more exposed to other people's, you know, lives and background. It was, like, really, really cool to, like, sort of have that learning experience for someone. And I think that's always, that's the one thing that I always take away from that, is, like, that's what comedy can do, is it can bring you together. Like, people, you know, get comics, and of course you go to a comedy show or a mic, there is a majority of white guys, of course. But what's really cool is when you go to the right one that has a good, diverse amount of people, because that's what makes comedy really, really good. And I think that's what really makes it great. So I'm really happy that you're able to feel like you do this. I had sort of a curiosity at one of your jokes to get more of a story, I guess, behind it. What's the story behind the joke of... you talked about kicking someone in the nuts.
Yeah, up, I was friends with a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
And, like, they like to wrestle.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's what dudes like to do, right? And so I was, like, a tomboy, obviously. Like, you can tell. And I was like, all right, let's play. And, like, anytime, like, they would try, you know, do, like, roughhouse or whatever. And, like, once you just kick a dude
right
in the dick, like, down. And I just thought it was hilarious. Like, oh, my God, like, it's just so funny. And one time when I was a kid, like, I kicked a grown man in the nuts.
Oh, my God.
Like, just for no reason. Like, nothing was happening. Like, I just, like, would do it. It was just, like, a thing that I would do. And, like, and then one time, like, when I was younger, I kicked my friend in the dick, and that, all the other dudes were scared of me, like, holding their, like, dick in their hands, like, running around, like, that. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so powerful.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
You can, like, kick me or whatever, but it's not. I don't know, it hurts, because, like, you're kicking my bones. Like, you're not gonna, I'm not, like, down for the count, like.
Right. Well, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I've been hit, you know, and it's, you know, I've been open brother, so, like, there's, you know, stuff. So it's, yeah, it is interesting. You know, like, that's a, you know.
Fun. Yeah. I think everyone should kick a dude in the balls at least once in their life, like, whether a dude, a lady, a combat, whatever, right. You are. Like, you gotta kick someone because it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. It is a classic. You know, it's so funny you mentioned that. You ever see King of the Hill? You ever seen that cartoon? There's an episode of that very popular episode where Bobby, he takes a female self-defense class and he ends up just kicking everybody in the nuts. And then he kicks his dad and it's like a huge like thing. And like, his dad's, like, mad at him. His dad's, like, he told me to go to the YMCA to learn to box. There were no boxing classes, so I took the female martial arts class, and they were mad at me that they learned how to fight. And it's just such a, I think you'll love the episode. It's called Bobby Goes Nuts. It's just, it's hilarious. But, and, the woman who, voices that main character, Bobby, she, I forget her name, but she was, oh, like Pamela Allen. She had a show on FX, and she was actually like a big, like, not partner in relationship, but like on screen and stuff with Louis C.K. And that was really tough for her because of everything that happened. And like, she did a lot of work with him. But anyway, she got like a voice, like, acting, like, kind of award for that episode because the quote in that episode is Bobby, the character, he's like 8 years old. He says, that's my purse, I don't know you, before he kicks them.
Oh my God.
So it's like, it's so funny, but yeah, I just heard you say that part as your joke, and I was like, oh, there's gotta be more to that. Like,
no, that's a true story. Sometimes, I don't know if everyone does this, but like, I'll sometimes like kick someone in the nuts, and like, a lot of my stuff is like based off of true events.
Like, oh, yeah, for sure. For me too. It's like, you know, stuff just happens. Like, I just, to me, I always try to figure out, like, if this is, what's the best way that I can make it funny if it's about me? Because it's the biggest thing. It's like, you know, really working out. So, yeah, it was really cool to see you do that. So I saw that you, I didn't listen to your podcast when I should have, but I saw that you have a bunch of episodes up. When did you start recording that?
So we started like a month ago, so it's fairly new. We do have a big announcement for our podcast, but like my fiance said, I can't announce it yet. But I will say on your podcast, we're joining a network.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's very exciting, like upcoming. You know, we're going to do, like, a big announcement on social media and stuff like that, but So that's going to be, that's super exciting, you know. And yeah, we just have to, we try to put out episodes every Tuesday. Once we're on this network, we're going to be more like consistent and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, that's the plan. And we talk about like our lives. We give advice. We read like weird stories that, you know, have happened to people. Sometimes I'll go on Reddit.
Right.
It's Reddit. It's like a playground of like weird stories.
Right.
We read like some of the stuff from like the advice subreddit, and like the things that people are asking are crazy. But so it's fun, you know. It's fun getting to record with someone, because I had a podcast before where it right. was just me. It was called Pop for One, and I kind of stopped doing it because, I don't know, I just got kind of tired of listening to just my voice.
Right.
You know, and it's really, it's like 10 times, because I think about the podcasts I listen to, they always have someone else there, whether it's like the main person, and then they're like,
right,
you know, sidekick kind of person.
Right.
So, and I don't know if I'm good at like interviewing people. I don't really know. I've never done it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
To me, I'm always like, is it too conversational? Am I asking enough questions? Because like I have my regular questions I ask. But I was thinking, is there a common question that you've been getting like with your advice, like part of your podcast? Like, is there a common question that you get a whole lot?
A lot of people ask about us, like what, how we met, like our story and things like that. So it's kind of easy.
Right.
And the way we met is like, I was a creep. Like I slid into her DMs on Instagram.
Right.
That's pretty much it. Like there's not much else. The rest was history. You know, there's not much else to the story, but, that's kind of, a lot of the questions are about us. So I guess people are interested in like us and our relationship. We're like two weirdos.
Right.
We chat. So, some people like hearing about, like we talk about our cats a lot too. Whether that's good or bad.
Right.
I don't know. Some people love it or hate it.
Right.
But, you probably heard them on the phone cause they were like fighting.
Oh yeah.
One of them was choking on her own boogers. Like it's just wild in this house.
How many cats do you have?
We have three. So I have two and she had one, so we kind of broke up together and now we're outnumbered, so.
Right. We had some cats before, and something I've always like, you know, I've always been like in between, like I like cats. Cats are fun. They're, you know, it was good because they, I like that they can sort of tend to themselves. Like, that's sort of a good thing, too. Like, the cats, like, don't care about me.
Yeah.
I love how Pete Holmes has a joke about, like, how cats don't care about you, like, as compared to dogs. And it's like, you know, you'd be like, it's like seeing a minor celebrity. It's like, mm-hmm. you see a cat, you're like, oh, the cat here is like seeing John Stamos. It's like, you take a picture of it, and it's like, don't tag me. Don't tag me.
Yeah,
but yeah, did you grow up with cats?
Yeah, I had a cat for my whole life growing up, and he was pretty mean, I'm not gonna lie. I
oh.
scarred him, but I also grew up with dogs too. Like everyone in my family had dogs. Me and my mom had a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I like the aspect of, like, I don't have to walk my dog in the winter, or when it's raining, you know what I mean? Like, the
right.
cat's just shit and piss inside. One joke that I said about, I try to incorporate cat jokes into my comedy sometimes, but it never worked, like, but I think it's hilarious, like, so when the cats go in the litter box, they poop, and then they run out of the litter box. And so I call it a shit and run.
Right.
And every time they run out of the litter box, I'm like, it's a shit and run. And like Alyssa is like, laughs hysterically. She thinks it's the best thing ever, but I think it's more of a us joke.
Right.
Like an other people joke, because people are like, what? Like,
right. Yeah.
Can't relate. But I love it. Every time they do it, I'm like, oh, that's another shit and run.
Right. Yeah. Oh, do you have any siblings?
No, just me.
No, just you.
Only so, child. What about you?
I'm the youngest. I have a brother who's 2 years older than me, and my sister's 4 years older than me, and so I'm the baby. And it's always so funny, like, or like, you know, the youngest gets the attention. Like, no, it's like my parents were just done by the time like they have you. It's like my mom all had us by C-section. My dad, you know, tells me the story of how when I was born, my mom was giving birth to me. He wasn't in the room like, you know, most dads are. He went to get coffee, and he was telling people, like, oh, my son's being born right now. They're like, you're not there, and he got, like, yelled at by them. He's all like, I'm like, why are you not with your son? Like, it's the third one. So it's like, it's always great. And to me, I'm like, yeah, but it's always interesting, that thing. Like, I always have that jealousy towards, like, people that don't have any siblings at all in the children. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah. Oh, you just don't get anyone.
Like, I get all the attention, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of, I mean, I think it kind of set me up for a life of stand-up, because
right.
Attention was always on me, so.
Right.
And, like, what I kind of use comedy as, like, a coping thing, like, mm-hmm. of, I don't know. I think making people laugh, like, breaks the tension when
right.
like, something's serious. But, you know, at the appropriate times.
Right. Were you funny yeah. as a kid? Like, were you, like, funny in high school and stuff?
Yeah, I had to be because I got bullied.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So, and I wasn't that kid who got bullied and just, like, took it. I talked back.
Oh.
And I had to be, like, sassy and, like, be quick and say something back to them, because I'm like, well, you're making fun of me or trying to whatever, but I'm going to do it to you 10 times worse. You know what I mean? So
that happened to me in high school and middle school. And, like, what was so funny was, like, I used to, you know, get picked on all the time. Like, I wouldn't do that. And then when I started, you know, to, like, snark back at people, what was always so great was that I would make my teachers laugh at it. So, like,
yeah.
They see me getting messed with, and then I say something, and then they either laugh when they're not supposed to. And then yeah. The student gets mad at them. They're like, why are you this time? It's like, I don't know. Richard just called you stupid in the funny way. It's just like, you know, and
ways you can either like internalize it and like be distraught by the bullies, or you can kind of like get power from it, you
yeah
know?
Yeah,
and learn from it and develop other kind of like social skills from it,
right?
And it helps you like in life, because people are nasty all the time.
No,
like I don't know. And I don't take it. I'm not someone who's going to sit there and, like, have someone, like, berate me or make fun of me. I'm going to dish it right back to you.
Yeah.
And people knew that. They're like, oh, you're, like, people knew. Like, I wouldn't just do it. I would talk back, whether it's in the middle of the classroom or out in the playground. Like,
right.
I'll yell back to you. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Right. Well, they also had to worry about getting kicked in the nuts, too. So.
If it was a dude, yeah. If it was a girl, punch him in the chest or something.
That's funny. Pierre, so, what social media stuff?
So, on social media, I think I have like on Instagram, it's @SabrinaComedian, very basic. The podcast is Ask the Lesbians Podcast, exactly how it's spelled. And I don't think I could even spell it.
Right.
It's too long. But, that's where you can find me on social media.
Okay, I forgot to ask one last question. We kind of talked about one thing, but, like, not really. Do you have any stories of, like, have you dealt with any hecklers yet in doing stand-up at all?
Yeah, so that, I have. So, like, everyone's super supportive. I have had one person who, like, consistently would say stuff at me, and sometimes I talk back, and sometimes I don't, and if I don't talk back, it's because I don't hear what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm pretty sure I had a heckler or someone was commenting on what I said at one of the open mics I did recently.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't hear him.
Right.
And so I just kind of, look in that direction, because, like, I'm partially deaf when I'm on stage.
Right.
So I'm like, to me, unless I'm talking at you directly, like, don't be screaming something at me, like, whatever, you know, sometimes it's fun, whatever, but if I can't hear you, I'm just gonna ignore you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I do have some, pocket quips, I'd like to say, you know, for hecklers, if it does get that bad.
Oh, that's good.
I've had, like, one time I went back and forth with someone, and then I kind of just, like, shut it down. And usually if I bomb on stage, my last line is always, well, y'all didn't laugh because you're just homophobic, and then that makes people, or something like that, and then that makes people laugh.
Right.
So I haven't had too many hecklers.
Yeah,
I've had a few.
I've always had, it's always changing how I deal with it. Like, I used to be very flay or flay, and, like, usually very cowardly when it happened, and I'd just be like, oh, well, I'm sorry, and then they got off stage. Now I've been doing it for so long that I'm kind of, like, I don't care anymore. I'm much more tougher now with it, with, like, dealing with it, which is good. It's, like, it doesn't even have to be, like, something that, like, happens to me right away. If I see a crowd being bad, like, a part of a crowd being bad, like, at a mic or at a show or something, and I'll just say it immediately when I get on stage. I'm like, you guys have been acting terribly all night. I'm not going to deal with it. Like, I was at, when I was at Nip and Tuck, like, 2 weeks ago, there was a family of, like, this guy with his kids, and his kids were, like, maybe, like, 10 and, no, maybe, like, 7 and 15, and he was just, like, not in a bad way, like, not meaning to, but sometimes, like, heckling and interrupting and stuff. And I went up on stage and I said, you know, this is what I said. I said, don't interrupt me or I will shit on your chest, all of you, individually. I'll make you watch. I'll shit on your 5-year-old son's chest and make him watch. And, like, this is, like, I was sick of it. I was like, I can't, you know. And to me, like, I would crumble when I used to get heckled all the time. I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'd leave immediately off stage and be like, fight or flight, like, I'm going to leave. And now it's like, I get on stage, I'm like, this is my time. Like, I got to work on shit. Like,
you know? I've waited an hour for this 5-minute set.
Right. It's like, yeah, it's like, that's the thing too, is like, people don't realize that. Like, you have to, that's my like, common thing. It's like, I hate that. Like, I have all of these many things that I have to do it. Like, I prefer, like, when I go to a mic and stuff, like, I have to get on stage and, like, fourth. Like, I can't go on, like, 10th and stuff. It's, like, crazy. It's, like,
yeah.
I just have to put that. That's, like, I need to do this because it'll just be terrible if I have to wait too long. Like,
I try to go earlier, too. Like, earlier to
yeah.
I try to.
The good thing is just, like, figuring out whether you're going to stay, how long you're going to stay and stuff. Because, you know, it can be fun to hang out with comics, but it can also be, like, a long time. It's like, oh, it's a long night. Especially given the crowd and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited. I was so excited when you approached me and said that you wanted to be on your podcast. So thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, totally. I definitely got to talk to you more because I always see you around once in a while. I got to make that effort too. But this is kind of a, you probably get asked this a lot, but how do you say your last name?
Ayub.
Ayub? Okay. Yeah. Not that I would ever say it during this interview or anything like a professional person would. Or they're like, no, I'll just call her by her first name. Fine.
I used to use my mom's maiden name. So when I went on stage, because it's just easier to say. But then I was talking to Donna, Donna Lloyd.
Yeah, she's great.
And she was like, just use your name because it's unique and people remember it. And I'm like, yeah, but they'll butcher it. And she was like, so what? Like, whatever. So she kind of gave me that push to use my actual name. So yeah, Sabrina Ayub.
Oh yeah, I've had that experience of people saying my last name wrong, which is so weird to me that it seems so easy. When I did the Springer show in New York one time, there's video of it. They called me Richard Dwork. And it's how can you mess that up?
That's pretty easy, but it's just being pronounced
Dwork. Yeah. And then my family's did they call you Richard Dwork? And it's no, Dwork. It's but it's still wrong in their way.
Oh my god.
But thank you so much for being on, and I definitely will check out your podcast because it sounds so interesting just to have that, and I listen to a shit ton of podcasts, so it's good.
Awesome.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll see you around soon.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be going out to mics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'll
sit around. Yeah. Thanks for putting up with this and everything that I did. I'm no so way. Sorry that I said this took too long to do. Ended up taking longer to do. Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye.